is not online this morning. He's in town here, and he's going to attend the meeting as soon as he gets done with this other meeting. So you can walk in at some point in time, just so you know that. That's why I'm not asking about him to begin with. And you have everybody taken, marked down as attendance for us?
Yes.
Beth, thank you. And then it's time to look at the agenda and to approve it. The items on that, of course, are, you need to approve the agenda, the minutes, and the bills on there. So to begin with, I'd just look for a resolution to approve this agenda.
I'll make a resolution to approve the consent agenda as stated in the agenda.
Second?
I second that.
Resolution to accept it. Further discussion regarding the minutes or the payment of the bills. Has questions on that? Standing there, or way different. If not, any comment from Denise or John on
it? Madam Chair, no unusual bills are listed.
Okay, Justin.
Just one question, Madam President. Thank you, John. On page 6, I was just curious. We've got an Open Systems International system upgrade. Which system that was?
It's our SCADA down payment on our SCADA update.
All right.
Any other questions from commission? Hearing done, if you do roll call, please.
Certainly. Commissioner Lammer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Holtz?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Okay, resolution passes. All right, then we'll go on to the Justin, or we'll give us a report, excuse me. Commissioner Mattern. Says Justin, yeah, that's what I'm following. To review the planning committee meeting on the 19th.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Planning committee did meet Tuesday, September 19th at 11 a.m. Our primary point of discussion was in relation to the water treatment plant project, and specifically in regards to the salty discharge issues. As we know, we've talked previously about possibly taking kind of a stepped approach and taking some consideration now as to what we might have to do in regards to the salty discharge issue. A couple of thoughts that have been brought up in the past. One, we could do some changes now at the treatment plants that perhaps could help get us partway there, where the city would, or the utilities would take care of part of the softening. The other is to fully go into a full-fledged softening mode, where we would do all of the softening and we'd completely eliminate softeners at the home level. If we were to go that route, and after having some discussion with the city, they're requesting that we at least consider that option. So part of what we're looking at doing here is getting a little bit more information in terms of the cost of what that would actually look like, so that we have that up front. You know, initially we thought perhaps we could do it without going the full softening route. But in order to do a full comparison of all the different options, we felt that it was important to get a good cost analysis of what that would take and the complexities that would be involved with that. As part of that, we wanted to also make sure that we understood what it was going to cost the individuals at their home if they were to stick with the system as is, or if they were to switch to a partial system where they'd go to enhanced softeners, or of course if we were to go this route and do all the softening and completely eliminate softeners at the home. So we wanted kind of a breakdown of what the homeowners would kind of have in terms of annual costs if we looked at those different scenarios. And another scenario that the city is also going to be looking at to bring to the table is if they did the softening and taking care of things at the wastewater treatment side of things as well. So they will be bringing that information to the table and in the future so that we can have a full discussion on that. So as that's related to the project with our engineers at Carollo Engineering, we do have a new task order that we are recommending that we do proceed with today to approve. Part of that task order is kind of assessing and doing the analysis on that treatment softening at the treatment plants and the costs that are associated with that. And then as well, there'd be some additional potential grants that we would be seeking if we were to go that route. And so there's some research dollars that would be included for that as well. And so that will be coming up as a resolution later in the packet today, but it is our recommendation that we proceed with that. From there, we went into some discussion about our facility security. And due to the nature of security, I'm not going to say a whole lot about the details, other than a couple of our off-site buildings. We were just curious to get some updates on what we do have in place currently for security, and with the changes in technology and advancements, just making sure that we're staying on top of that. So we had requested that staff seek out some proposals to just do some upgrades and enhancements to what we do have in place, just to make sure that we're staying on top of that. And they will be bringing those back in the future, and we will bring them back for consideration as we have those brought to us. From there, we had a brief update on the city council work session. John and Commissioner Lammer had attended that to kind of present some budgetary items to the city council. They did approve our budget as was presented, but they did have some additional questions in terms of future rate discussions and adjustments, our intergovernmental transfer, the pilot program, and then, of course, the water main replacement funding. And so they are requesting that we do, and we've opened up the idea of hosting kind of a joint session between the city council. And so there has been a meeting request pushed out for that. So if anybody has not responded to that email, I would request that you please do that. We're looking for setting up a meeting, I believe, in October to make that happen and have that discussion. We anticipate it probably would be fairly lengthy. So with that, we adjourned at 11:53 a.m., and I would stand for any questions.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Commissioner Mattern talked about security, and I know you'd mentioned, I guess I don't want to get into specifics either, but are we talking cyber and physical building security, or one of the...
This particular discussion was specific to physical security at facilities.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Thank you, Justin. Appreciate that report. Motion to accept Justin's report, please. Commissioner Mattern's report.
I would offer that motion.
I'll second.
Okay. Any motion made and second to accept the minutes? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, and then as you discussed in there, the recommendation to approve that scope of work. Do you want to review that with us? John, maybe talk to us a little bit about that, or Justin? John, did you discuss that a little bit, just to, you know, to go over it?
Madam Chair, if you don't mind, I'll yield this over to Joe Bergelman. Our water supervisor can provide more detail regarding our scope.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Basically, I think Justin did a good job of explaining it, but if you look at the total, you know, the commission directed us to have Kroll put together a grant proposal of the $30,000. So the additional work is the additional $22,000. And that really came from feedback from people questioning our step approach, like, okay, they didn't believe we did there, so we needed better dollars to justify our direction, because it will be a difficult decision. So we really are asking Corolla to drill down on some of the true cost of actually comparing the two treatment plants, actually looking at the hardness and coming up with an O&M cost. You know, initially they looked at a lot of the capital improvement cost, but the O&M could be quite high due to our hardness. So that would have a drastic effect on the rates and overall cost to the customers. So in the end, is what we're hoping that is okay. To operate a softener is X many dollars a month, and for us to soften the water is X many dollars a month, okay? and you can do a true cost comparison, say, hey, is it twice as much? Is it three times as much? You know, that's really what we need to know because of the O&M cost. So that's the additional work so we can make a good decision.
So it'll be a cost, but there would also be some cost to, you know, to educating people and stuff that would be involved in that too, right? Not only the physical piece of it, but getting our customers to understand it would be a cost related in there.
But that's not looked at in the scope of work.
Okay.
The scope of work is basically to see the O&M and the true cost of what it's going to take to do it.
Okay.
So we can educate the people.
Okay, and with the information that we get from that. I would look for a resolution to approve that scope of work from Corolla.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Further discussion on it? Anything else that...
Madam Chair, just a question. Joel, related, a significant piece of this is related to the looking assistance with grants and loans.
That's correct.
How optimistic are they that they're going to be able to secure either of those at this point in time? Or are they aware of any that are out there that are existing that they could tap into? Or I'm just curious about, you know, like I said, that's a pretty big piece of this particular contract. So,
and that's why it's basically on time and material. As they pursue a grant, and if they find out that it looks like it's pretty low probability, we're going to drop those as we go. So we're going to be monitoring that as we go. It may change because if we change the design from the preliminary a little bit, it's going to take away or add to the grants. So that's why we really need a total picture to give them clear direction. So, you know, everybody's hopeful, but realistically, money's always tight.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions regarding this scope of work here? If not, this is a resolution, so if you'd take roll, Beth.
Okay. Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Mabu?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Holtz?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye. Thank you. Thank you for your presentation, Joel, there, for clarification. And then the next item on our list is a CapEx project update. So for our information, we'd like to take that.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. For those on the commission that are new, back in 2011, 12, somewhere in that vicinity, 12, the commission elected to become part of one of the CapEx projects. We are part owners through Central Minnesota Municipal Power Agency. They changed their name to Compass, so when you hear the agency name Compass, we invest it through them. We are part owner of the Brookings to the Twin Cities, as I indicated. We invest it between the agency and the municipals that became part of the project, about $35 million, or the $35 million bond that was sold for that project. That project was broken down as a percentage basis. 53% of that $35 million is the responsibility of the agency, with the other 47% being the municipals that are part owner of the project, that invested in the project, are responsible for that part of it. They sold a 30-year bond, and construction was completed in 2015, with the exception of four parcels that they're in condemnation with. So construction's been finished, but the project itself has not been closed out yet because of the condemnation of those parcels that they're in court with. Out of that 47% that's funded by the participants, Wilmer is a 25% owner of that, or responsible for that part of that 47% of the participant share. Along with Elk River, they're also a 25% owner participant of that 47% share of the participants. So we are responsible for a large part of that project. How does that equate into revenue? Wilmer put up $549,000 at that time when we entered into the project, and to date we received $273,000 back. So in a short period of time, we received a fair amount of dollars back already. The project as a whole has received a little over $18 million in revenue and cash distribution, which is at $273,000 that we received as part of that $1 million that we received back from the project at this point. So it's been a good investment. Rate of return on it's high. Rate of return is established by the rules. And MISO pays the investors, and that is why the utility elected to invest in transmission back at that time. So it's a good investment. That also is a reason why we're investing additional dollars into transmission assets, meaning the Pram substation. That's also a transmission investment for us that we seek a very nice rate of return on. So that's our investment in CapEx. A lot more detail there, but at a high level, that's what we have invested, and that's what has been returned to us to date. So more to come, more revenue to come in the future.
So. Good. We'd like to hear that. Thank you, John, for the report.
Chris was part of that. I don't know. Chris, is there anything I left out on it? Or? All right. Thank you.
Good. Thank you again. Okay, then the July financials, and Denise, we'll let you take that.
Thank you. I'll just go through them briefly. Electric division, we're at $2.244 million. Expenses were about $1 million under budget year-to-date. Water division, we are also under budget on our expenses. Margins year-to-date for water, $445,000. Heating division, we're also under budget on our expenses. Year-to-date, we're at margins of $234,000. And the combined financial statements, margins compared to last year, we are about $500,000 ahead of where we were last year. And again, better than budget by about $1 million. Are there any questions on the financial statements?
Commissioners on it. I got it all accounted for there. Okay. Thank you, Denise. And then we'll go to the wind turbine report from John.
Thank you, Madam President. I wish I had really good news to report on the wind turbine report, but if you'll look at the August 17th printout, on the table on the first page, you can see that our August production for number four was exactly zero. Our availability was the same. Turbine number three availability was slightly worse than average at 66%. The good news that goes along with that, if you look at the graph above, is that we're not that far below the lowest previous August production. That's sort of the silver lining here, is that August is a poor wind month anyway, so if it had to happen, this was probably the best month. However, you're probably interested in the reason the hydraulic system overheated. That is correct. We received a faulty electrical component to replace a faulty electrical component in number four that was a contactor for the hydraulic pump for the wind drive system. It actually stuck on, and you know, there's a thousand different settings that have to be correct before those wind turbines will turn. But this particular pump didn't have any appropriate alarms, so that when the contactor stuck on, the pump continued to pump regardless of other conditions. And we don't really know how long it took, but it got extremely hot and actually literally started melting hoses and created some real havoc up in the nacelle of number four. The reason that it was down so long is that DeWind has been going through some, serious issues. And we had a difficult time obtaining parts, as well as the expertise to replace the pump and associated melted and otherwise destroyed parts. However, after a couple of weeks, we were able to obtain the services of the now former DeWind technician, Chad Sander, and obtain some parts from their warehouse, and were able to replace it all and get it back in service. So it is today back in service and producing electricity. We're continuing to replace parts as we can get them that were damaged by this issue. So it's possible that we'll see some short-term outages going forward in number four, but we've pretty much got it under control at this time. Number three suffered at the same time, during that same time period, a separate type of problem in its software. And that didn't take quite as much time or effort, and we were able to get that resolved. So number three is back online, and so I'm pretty sure that September numbers will be quite a bit better. At any rate, we didn't, you know, the cost of all of this wasn't terribly expensive financially. It was just time-consuming. We're working on solutions to prevent such a, not only such events, but such delays in the future, and I think we will be successful in that pursuit. So again, they're both producing today, looking good. And our technicians learned a lot over that month. Our two wind technicians have since then been able to take care of quite a number of little issues that occur that normally we'd need outside help on. So another silver lining.
So the products that you got to begin with to do the work were faulty, and then that's when all the when the meltdown started.
That's correct.
So in the where we got those parts from, we're aware of that, that's what was the cause of it?
I can't really say, because they're no longer there.
Oh, these are parts, they weren't parts from this Chad person, from his, these were ones that you had.
Right.
Okay, so again, looking for some liability out there. It doesn't look like there is any, is that correct?
I'm sad to say I don't believe we can find anybody to obtain any satisfaction from.
Okay. Then just looking back on September of 2016, it shows that semi-annual maintenance is done. With all this going on, is that maintenance going to just be part of what's going on with this?
Actually, no. That the semi-annual and the annual maintenance are specific procedures to replace specific filters and other parts.
Okay.
And we do have that scheduled for October.
Okay, so that's separate. You can't do it at the same time as you're doing all the replacement.
Yes and no. We're pretty much consumed with trying to get these units back online. And again, the maintenance procedures are separate. And so we got them back online. And now in a couple of weeks, we're going to do the semi-estimate.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Deep Lake and then Mattern.
John, have you done to prevent an overheating situation going forward? Is there anything you can do or steps you can do to mitigate that or help prevent it?
Most pertinent, I guess, is that we have begun to build our own inventory of spare parts. We have obtained quite a number of, we have identified critical components that are not easy to find off the shelf from other suppliers, and have obtained quite a number of those types of critical parts, such as pumps that are hard to find outside of Europe and things like that. And we have those in our inventory now, and we're continuing that effort and expect to obtain quite a few more from the closed warehouse in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. In addition, we're maintaining relations with Chad Sander, even though he's no longer with DeWinn. We're working on developing a contractual relationship with him and his new work to accommodate our needs here for maintenance and support.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. John, you kind of answered my question there at the end. Is Chad the individual that we're looking to kind of contract with then to replace what we had with DeWinn? Is there any other options, or is that the route that we're pursuing right now?
Chad is absolutely the most knowledgeable technician in the United States with respect to diagnosing and repairing these kinds of problems in DeWinn turbines.
Being that he's only one individual, do we have a backup?
Our two wind technicians are literally our backup. We have been working with a company called Aero Wind Services out of Illinois, who performed the last maintenance activities, the last annual maintenance. And our wind technicians told me this morning that literally they are capable of doing what Aero did at the last service interval. So they've been coming along, and they're getting better and better, and much more confident and able in maintaining these turbines. So I believe, though, that Chad Sander will be available, at least for the foreseeable future. I don't know how pertinent it is, but he's actually gone to work as an electrician. He's quite an individual and holds multiple licenses in the trades. He's working as an electrician for his dad's electrical contracting company in Oklahoma, as a matter of fact, and has just made arrangements with his dad to provide us with service as part of that electrical company contracting.
I guess one last question then in relation to that, John. With all the other wind farms out there, whether they're working or not, are they possible backup solutions as well, or are their systems so different that that would not be compatible in any way?
Well, yes and no. You know, a wind turbine is a wind turbine, but there's a lot of DeWinn turbines have their own operating systems, their own software and hardware and mechanical components that are different from other turbines. Most of the outside technicians that we brought in from time to time out of necessity have been able to figure things out more or less, but it's really slow. It's not something you can do overnight. It takes many visits, and from our side, it's expensive. It's really an expensive way to go. So we much prefer to go with the experts that already are in the house.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, to further expand on John Folkedahl's comments on that, we've actually, not to disclose any companies, but once we learned of DeWinn's challenges, we've worked with two other companies already in search of an additional company or a different company, as Commissioner Mattern asked about, and basically been unsuccessful with either company. So at this point in time, we're feeling fortunate that Chad Sanders, that Mr. Folkedahl alluded to, is willing to assist us as we go forward here, because he is very knowledgeable. So we're pleased to learn that he went to work for his dad, and he's still open and willing to work with us and help us troubleshoot and come up here and assist with service as needed. So between Chad and our own staff, I think we're able to handle quite a bit of the maintenance and service that's needed. So,
just a quick question. Is it possible to have, some of our staff to be proficient to that level, to that gentleman you just mentioned, sure, to get to that?
Commissioner Mabu, that's a good question. And if I can yield that over to John Folkerl, our supervisor of our production there. We have sent, as John alluded to, staff for training, but there's different levels of training. I don't know if John's aware if we still can extend that training or not, but I'll yield that question to John.
Commissioner Mabuba, it is a very distinct possibility and one that we intend to pursue. Chad Sander is certified by DeWin to provide training for technicians up to level 10, as it's called. Currently, our technicians are trained to level 4. Our next step is to have him bring them up to level 7. Eventually, at least, get them up to a level 10, which is sort of like the master technician level.
And I don't know if this may be a question that can't be answered. Is there a lifetime to these turbines?
Well, it's just like anything else. It depends. If you continue to replace parts on your automobile, it'll last for a long time. Eventually, the major components will deteriorate to the point where it's not worth it, and wind turbines are no different. It's very likely that these wind turbines will last for 25 years without a problem, as long as we can continue to get the repair parts that we need.
Okay. Any other questions for Mr. Folkerl? If not, thank you, John, for a good report on the details of what's happened there. It's a good report would be no problems, but thank you for informing us. Okay, and then if you would update us about the stormwater project here at the power plant.
Thank you, Madam President. Okay, switching gears here over to the Pacific Avenue stormwater project. This has quite a bit of background as well. This work is in essence required, or was required by our stormwater pollution prevention plan, wherein the utility has been monitoring stormwater runoff on Pacific Avenue since, I'm not quite sure, 2011 or so, before I started working here. The results of that stormwater sampling meant that we were required to take steps to improve the total suspended solids runoff. It's nothing like toxic waste or anything like that, but it's certainly required by the MPCA that we do something to reduce the amount of total suspended solids in the stormwater runoff. So some years ago, I actually had Wenk Associates put together this plan that I've included in your packets to make those improvements and reduce the TSS. Since then, we've had a change of operations, obviously. So I called the MPCA and talked to them about it. The person that I finally wound up that was in charge of this particular project was pretty happy to hear that we were going to be combusting less coal, and indicated that we don't need to proceed with this project. However, she indicated that we would need to review our best management practices for Pacific Avenue with an eye toward upgrading them if it was necessary. So based on that requirement, I contacted Wenk Associates and talked to them about it. They were the ones who developed this Pacific Avenue plan, and they also developed our stormwater pollution prevention plan way back in 2002, which we've been operating on, under with some modifications since. So they're actually going to stop by. They will be out in state on other business on October 2nd, and they're going to swing by here on October 3rd to review our site prior to reviewing our best management practices for potential upgrades or changes. Best management practices are things like sweeping the street at certain intervals, collecting the stormwater samples, and other things like that, just to try to monitor and minimize any environmental issues that arise from our coal handling practices. So this is sort of almost a preliminary update. We'll know much more after Wenk Associates visit us on the 3rd and we have a chance to talk about it.
So when you talk about solids, is that what they're primarily, is the coal dust and coal that's causing that?
It's a combination of coal dust and small particle runoff from the unpaved areas, both along Pacific Avenue and between the street and the railroad tracks off to the west.
And this is just between 7th and 10th, is that right? Along Pacific?
Yeah, it's more like between 7th and 9th. There's sort of a continental divide at 9th. Everything on the west side of 9th runs toward 10th Avenue.
Okay. Thank you, John. Any questions for Mr. Folkadal regarding this? Well, that solves the project on not having to spend more money on it than it sounds like to me. Is that, am I hearing that right?
That's right. John and I talked about this some time ago and, you know, decided it doesn't make too much sense to spend $150,000 to complete this project in light of what are the most likely future for the power plant. Part of this was that we decided to keep that for safety and security reasons, and we did complete the fence that's on the right side of the drawing.
Okay, hearing no questions on that. Again, thank you, John, for the report. And then I think it's Joran, it's your turn.
Thanks, Madam Chair. The Pine substation project is moving ahead on schedule. We're to the point where we need to get some soil borings on the ground out there to develop the foundation depths. We had DGR, our engineer for the preliminary design of the Priam substation, put specifications together for the geotechnical services. We sent those out to three different companies. Two of them responded. They were actually very close in their estimates. Originally, in the specifications, DGR Engineering asked for 12 soil borings, and that was to include some of the outer areas for the transmission poles for both Xcel Energy and Great River Energy. After talking with them a little bit more in detail, they decided that those extra borings were not necessary, and so we reduced the requirements down to 9 soil borings. We followed up with AET, the low bidder, and they reduced their bid accordingly to that. Mr. Scott did review the agreement or the proposal from AET, and he did not recommend that we agree with some of the terms and conditions in their proposal. The scope of work and the fees were all fine, but he recommended that we use a contract for services that he's already been through and vetted and has probably come through the commission as well. So we passed that back to AET, and they were agreeable to those terms and conditions. The scope of work and the fees remain the same. And so I'd be happy to answer any questions on this. Otherwise, I would recommend that we authorize AET for the services.
My one question is that you, because of the revision of from the number of boring holes that they had to do and lowered it, that you went to AET, that's not something that you would go back to the other bidder because you just went back to the lowest one that would have probably been chosen to do the project?
In the proposals, they listed the costs for the soil borings, and so AET would still be less using those fees that they provided.
For once, it goes down instead of going up. Okay. And this looks like it's the revised award recommendation, and it's a resolution that needs to be made to accept AET's award. Anyone here, commissioners, would there be someone that would be willing to make that recommendation, that resolution?
I'd offer a resolution to approve the contract with AET.
Second?
Second.
Okay. Further discussion? Hearing none, if you'd take roll call, Beth.
Sorry. Commissioner Mabrouk?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Holtz?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Resolution passes. And now, Kevin. Where are you? You're usually over here. regarding the property adjacent here, if you'd like to update us on that.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Staff was approached by Doug Finster, a local realtor, about a piece of property that will be coming up for sale in the near future, identified as parcel number 95003790, shown on the maps that you have there, the lighter colored property. He knew that we had been interested in the past and had purchased property in the past in that adjacent vicinity, so he felt it right that he'd give us first crack at it, or at least make us aware of it. So I guess it would be, at this time, it would be my recommendation that we move this matter to the Planning Committee to further discuss it and look at options for that piece of property.
And is that, I'm just trying to be honest, and that's 8th on that side. It's what was the
8th
Benson there in that, on the west corner. So that was where the, Mr. B, the photography place was up. Is that the place?
No, no. It's a warehouse facility.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm going to go and look at that. I didn't look at that beforehand. Okay. Again, that's your recommendation, is to go ahead and bring it to the Planning Committee. Any discussion, any questions at this time? Otherwise, we would direct that that would happen.
Madam Chair, just a question. Kevin, I'm looking at the GIS photo that you've included. And could you remind us which properties we own between the main parcel? We've got the parking lot just to the west of that.
Yep. If you look directly to the west of that property, the four parcels from the 9th Street heading east towards this property, we own those four parcels.
Okay, so that's all of ours there.
Correct.
Is this the only remaining piece on that particular?
No, there are two residential homes.
Okay. And how about just on the, it would be the east side of 8th Street there, Kevin. How do we, I know we've got the apartment building there, correct?
No, we do.
We don't. Oh, that's over here. Okay, I'm sorry. So we just have to the parking lot there. Okay. Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Okay. Any other questions? Otherwise, John, comment from you on this at all? We'll put it on the Planning Commission.
Well, other than I believe it'd be appropriate for the Planning Commission to meet and talk in detail where we're going and do we want to pick that parcel property up or not.
I agree. Planning.
No, so go to Planning.
We'll take it.
Okay, thank you. That's what I was looking for, an affirmative there. thanks, Kevin. General Manager's report, please.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair. There's two items, and I'll just pull them both together as they're related. Staff, last time we had a commission meeting, I indicated that following that meeting, we had a meeting between utility staff and city staff to talk about the items on the listing here. Beth did minutes from that meeting for us. I don't know if there's questions from the commission regarding the notes that we provided to our commission here regarding our meeting with staff. With that said, we moved those items to the council last week, Monday, at the council meeting. And the council, after actually a very short discussion, wasn't even a discussion, just a couple comments from a few of the council members, asked for this to be moved to a joint meeting of the commission and council to further discuss how we want to proceed with our rate increases, governmental transfer, and the water main costs that are associated with replacement. So with that said, we've been trying to get a meeting set up. We reached out to Mr. Holland, city administrator, this morning, as well as Janelle, his personal secretary there. We're still waiting to hear back, but it looks like October 31st, 12 noon, is the best possibility for a joint meeting where we'll be able to have the largest attendance of both the commission and the council. So with that said, unless there's questions on the notes that we provided to the commission, I'll yield it back to our chairperson.
Any questions on an agenda will come up beforehand for all of us on the commission, whether you're able to attend or not. Hopefully most of you are able to attend on that date. We won't talk about trick-or-treating on that date. With it. Okay, and then as you can see, our public power week is October 1st to the 7th, and the open house is on the 3rd. I see the slate is full for questions and answers. I don't know how much studying we have to do ahead of time, but thank you, commissioners, for being willing to sign up and take your turn at that. And comments from you, John.
Madam Chair, the time that we have listed there is a typo. It goes till 6:30.
Oh.
So just an FYI for everyone.
Shoot, whoever was on the 6 o'clock thought, oh, I'm done. right? Okay, is there anything else to come before the commission today? Anything else to come before the commission? Last time, anything else to come before the commission? Any business? Meeting adjourned.
Thank you, everyone. Have a nice afternoon.
Thank you.
Yeah. Building.